Well, if I can use this opportunity to thank you all who have taken part, and it now falls to me to briefly explain what it is that we've been singing about and hearing about this evening. And I want to take a verse which isn't normally associated with Christmas, but it is probably the most famous verse in the whole of the Bible, and it is John 3:16. So let me read it out, and then I'll just make a few comments on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how can those words be relevant at Christmas time? Well, it's for this reason. This verse talks about a gift, and that is really what we've been celebrating tonight. Now, I want you to use your imagination here. Some may have to use their imagination, but most of us will probably tomorrow morning be actually doing this when we are receiving different presents. Now, the first thing I do, I don't know if this is true of you, when I receive a gift, is look to see who it's from. And when we think of the gift of Jesus Christ, who has sent this gift? Well, this verse says, for God gave his only begotten Son. And this is what Christianity is about. It's not about us having to do something in order to make us right with God. It's about God sending somebody in order to make us right with him. And that is so important. I heard about a couple. They used to go to a church, and they were being constantly told in this church that they had to do this and they had to do that in order to please God, as if God was a hard taskmaster. And they left that church and they went to an evangelical church, and what they discovered in this evangelical church was perfectly normal people, but they were being told now about something that God had done. Isn't that good news? That we don't have to strive anymore, but that God has done something for us. And that's really the most wonderful thing that we can hear. God has given something. God loves the likes of you and me. And then the next thing I do when I receive a gift, I unwrap it and I see what it is. And there's usually a correlation between the expense spent on the gift and the love of the person that has sent it. If you don't mind this example, I don't want young people here to get any ideas from this example, but I know I am greatly loved by my parents because they've given me a gift this year of a brand new car. Isn't that amazing? I didn't ask for it. I didn't write to Santa Claus asking for a new car, but out of the abundance of their hearts, they've actually given me a new car. Now, my friends, what has God given us? I don't know, what would be the most amazing gift for you? Maybe it would be a car, but maybe it would be something else, the most priceless thing in all the world. But let me tell you, whatever you can think of as the most precious thing, it's still only going to be a created thing. What God has sent isn't a created thing. We had in our readings prophets being sent of God. Now, a prophet is a very important person. Think of having Isaiah the prophet speaking to us tonight. But God didn't send a prophet. God, in our readings as well, sent an angel, even the archangel Gabriel, the most important of all the angels. And angels are the highest, in one sense, of all the created things. But God has done something far more. It's the Creator who has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I've spoken about the meaning of Christmas for so long, I still haven't been able to fully understand what happened in that manger in Bethlehem, that God himself became a human being. The God who is infinite was contracted to a span so that Mary held the baby in her arms, and that baby was none other than her Creator. So isn't that a reason for celebrating tonight? God so loved you and me that he gave the greatest thing of all, his only begotten Son, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. No wonder we're worshipping him here tonight. And then the next thing I do when I receive a gift, it might be an expensive gift, but I'm asking, how useful is it going to be? Now a car is very useful for me. I remember once saying in a sermon in our church that I hated with a perfect hatred Murder, She Wrote. It wasn't my cup of tea. And we had a young person in the church at that time who had a sense of humor, because that Christmas he gave me a box and it was wrapped in Christmas paper and it looked very promising. I was thinking he's spent a great deal buying this gift for me. And once I opened it and saw that it was a DVD box set of Murder, She Wrote, I thought, this is not for me. It had no use. Now, thankfully, I was able to pass it on to somebody who did like it. What use is there in Jesus Christ, the God-man? Well, listen to John here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's said of football, I think, that it's not a matter of life and death. It's more important. Well, I don't know how true that is. What we're considering tonight is more important than life or death, because it's eternal life and eternal death that's at stake. The most wonderful thing about Jesus Christ isn't his birth, but his death. He came in order to do something, and that was to go to a cross, what we're remembering at Easter time, and do something for you and for me. Now, I was visiting somebody in the Heath Hospital this afternoon. Would you like to be in hospital over Christmas? I can empathize with people in hospital over Christmas, because when I was a boy, I had to spend time in Rhyl Hospital. And at that time, there was a Christmas number one. And because I was in hospital, I'll never forget this number one. It's engraved in my heart. It was Mary's Boy Child. Did you remember that, you older ones? Boney M singing Mary's Boy Child. And you've got this line in it: man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Jesus Christ, by being born and by growing up and by going to a cross and by hanging on that Roman cross and being executed, do you know what he did? He destroyed death. Death is the last enemy in the Bible. Death is what is facing every one of us. death is in the world because of sin. And God so loved the world, he didn't wring his hands of the world and give us up. What he did was send Jesus Christ on a mission in order to save the likes of you and me. And he fulfilled that mission by dying in our place, by tasting death for us, so that we wouldn't have to die eternally. Oh, that's the most useful thing in all the world. In the piece that Boney M sang, it's an old American spiritual song, but they add another Afro-American spiritual. Oh, my Lord, you sent your Son to save us, from sin and death. One of the readings said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What good news. I can't think of anything more useful than being saved from eternal death and saved to eternal life. You know, Jesus Christ tonight can be your savior. Jesus Christ wasn't just born 2,000 years ago. He can be born in you tonight. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who's twice born, born naturally and born again of the Spirit. And then there's one more thing. When I receive a gift, if it's an expensive gift, if it's the most useful gift of all, do you know what I do? This must be OCD, I think. I go back and check. Is it really for me? I'm sure they've got the wrong person. It can't be for me. And there are some people who hear the Christmas story and they think, this is too good to be true. What's the small print? This can't be as good as you are making it out to be. Well, this isn't me. This is God's word. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter who we are tonight. Whoever believes has this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this verse had my name on it, you'd say? For God so loved Wynne that he gave his only begotten Son for Wynne, that if Wynne believes in him, Wynne should not perish, but Wynne should have everlasting life. When I was a pupil in school, there were two Wynnes. To make it worse, there were two Wynne Hugheses. And the other Wynne Hughes was a very badly behaved boy, so I often got the blame. So, which Wynne would it apply to then? You see, God has made it better than that. He's put a blank there, in effect. Whoever you are, put your name there. Take this gift. We sang, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Only a few people saw the birth of Jesus. But it's not silent tonight. I wish I could shout from the housetops, unto us a Savior is born, and whoever believes on him shall have everlasting life. It doesn't matter how bad we may feel ourselves to be. It doesn't matter how little we may know. It doesn't matter how far we've stayed away from him. The moment I take him as my Savior, I am in. I am saved. Well, there you go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, that includes you as well as me, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May you have a blessed Christmas this year, but may you have a double blessed Christmas as you not only receive all sorts of other gifts, but receive this gift of Jesus Christ and the free salvation in him that will last forever. And that's why we are gathered here tonight, to give thanks to him forever, ever sending such a gift for the likes of us. So we're now going to sing